when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. Before Paul was going to be sent to Rome, they had a long journey. And many of you know this is what is recorded in Acts chapter 27, is that journey. And he's put on a ship, actually two different ships, before they get to Crete. And you can look on the maps that are in your Bible on the third missionary journey, I believe it was, of the Apostle Paul, where they came to Crete. And they basically went ahead and tried to get on their schedule and keep on moving, basically. But they come into this great storm that many of us have heard preached throughout the years called Euroclydon. It basically is like a nor'easter on steroids. And it was amazing, if you look at the map of where God would bring Paul along the coast and then the whole journey, and they come to Crete, there, I believe, is 276 men on this wheat ship that's hauling supplies into different portions of Italy. And oftentimes, the Roman army had precedent to say, hey, we've got prisoners, we're bringing them to Rome, we're going to take what you've got left on this ship and we're going to board up these prisoners, and our men and our army, these captains of the ship, had to let them on. So Paul the apostle is getting ready to be taken to Rome. He is on his way, and through many dangers, toils, and all types of problems, but God was with Paul. And Festus gave a good word to Julius. He was the centurion that basically had Paul and was responsible for him. And he had two other men with him. Luke joined him. Also, another man in verse 2 of chapter 27. Let's just read verse 27 and 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion, and Augustus' band. More than likely, Festus said, look, Julius, the centurion, this man Paul is harmless, not going to try to escape. When you take him to Rome, don't worry about this man. This is a good man, and he's probably innocent. So Julius showed him much favor. You got to understand, as a Roman soldier, if one of your prisoners ever escaped, you had to serve the sentence of the prisoner that was under your authority. That's how strict the Roman army was. So Paul was to escape, and whatever probably the judgment or the time in prison or even death in some occasions, listen, that Roman army was a strict army. They didn't fool around. You either did your job or you suffered the consequences. The Bible says the next day, entering into the ship, and they launched. And let's skip down here to verse 13 in your Bibles. Verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, They were waiting for the winds to not be contrary to them. They were waiting for the winds to go the way they were going. How many of us know it's important to sail in the direction of the wind? Now, you might have to go through some seas and winds in life that are contrary, things coming against you. But they're waiting for, and then all of a sudden, a nice little south wind comes. And it's blowing nice and softly. And these men, because they looked at the natural, said, man, everything's going our way. We'll just head in this direction. We're going to go ahead and set sail. And supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, verse 13, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after there arose a tempestuous, very bad storm. Somebody say this is the calm before the storm. The Bible says that when they left the harbor, everything seemed to be all right. The wind was blowing in the way they wanted it to go. How many of us know you can't always go by the way you feel and what you see? It is a danger to set your life and to set in a direction because it looks good and it feels good and you're determined to go in that way. Somebody say, don't lean to your own understanding. This wind was called Euroclydon. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. They took down probably the sail and said, wherever these winds are taking us, we've got to just go with the flow. And if you study at the end result, they're going to end up on an island called Melita or Malta in that day. And if you look at Malta or Melita at the very tip of the nation of Italy, right off the coast, it's a little dot in the middle of a big ocean. And the chances of that Euroclydon, that hurricane, for 14 days was spinning these men. 276 men on board of a ship with prisoners and with Roman soldiers and many captains and all of their, listen, sailors. And they were not only bringing much wheat and probably supplies, but amen, they had all of those men and now they're in the midst of a storm. Paul told them a little while before that, he said, boys, I believe that we don't need to go on this journey today. I just don't feel right in my spirit. This is not the direction we need to go. Amen. And Paul said, you don't need to go because I fear that if we go on this ship, listen to me, Paul was warning them of what was to come. That if you go, you're going to be driven right into a storm. How many of us know it's important to listen to men of God's counsel? And when you fail to listen to men of God that know how to hear from God, you yourself refuse to submit to that counsel because it's a man. I'm going to listen to the captain of the ship. I'm not going to listen to this preacher that's sick and beaten with scars all over his back, just not to look upon. His appearance would be one that, who's this little old guy here? I mean, just look at this guy. And here he's telling Julius the centurion, don't go on that ship. I feel that much harm is going to come to the ship, and we may lose our lives if we leave out of harbor today. But they would not listen to the man of God, and they went ahead and continued to do what they wanted to do. And the captain of the ship said, let's go ahead and set sail. I'm a shipman. I know the wind, and the wind is going in the direction that we need to go, but oh, you don't know what lies ahead. There's some things that only God can reveal to you. I'm not confident that everybody can hear from God. I've watched many people in their own personal lives make decisions, and they did not seek any counsel from a pastor, from a man of God. They did not want to seek the counsel of the decision that they have to make in their life. And therefore, they just felt that soft breeze blowing. Oh, everything's just going the way. I feel. How many know that feelings will get you in trouble? It's important to submit to the counsel of the Word of God. And the problem we have today is there's a danger when you cannot hear from God for yourself. We got many men that go on feelings and emotions, and they dictate their decisions based upon what they see, hear, and feel. And I didn't expect the captain and Julius, who were heathen men probably, to submit to a man like Paul, but God did have a plan, and God is a merciful God. The Bible says here, and when the ship was caught up and they couldn't bear it, they let it drive, they put down the mast, and they just kept on running. The very chances that they were able to fall upon Malta or Melita, that was their end destination. The very fact that they would be in a storm for 14 days and end up on this little bitty island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea is a miracle. The chances of that ship taking that route and ending up specifically right off the coast. You know why? Because God had his hand up on that ship in the midst of the storm. I want you to see that Paul was a man that could hear from God. And can I tell you, you will suffer in life when you don't heed the counsel of God. You will go through things that you probably never had to go through if you just would have got rid of that mentality of, I'm going to do it my way. In the day and hour we're living, we better not make any decisions without hearing from God first. Look at people's lives that make decisions to set out in a direction of life, and they go right into a situation where it was nice and peaceful and calm where they were. Listen, it's okay to wait for God. It's okay to wait until you feel the release in your spirit and God gives you the permission. That's so important in life. How many of us know the old expression? You hear about folks getting married and folks getting into relationships, and not just relationships, but maybe getting a different job or going to move somewhere else. And they said they were in the frying pan, but now they're in the fire. They went from the frying pan, which was hot. It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't good. But now they're out of the frying pan, and they went right into the fire. Somebody said that the grass is not greener on the other side, and you've heard the expression. The reason that green grass is so green, because there's a septic tank right up underneath it. It gets the point across. It's crude and simple, but it's true. Things are always not what they seem. And as they go into this storm, these men come to the place where Paul tells them they're throwing out all the supplies. How many of us know when you get desperate and you want to live, nothing else matters in the natural? They're trying to lighten up that ship so that it doesn't sink as it's going up and down and up and down. 14 days these men didn't eat. I don't know about you, but I can't even get on a merry-go-round, less being in a ship in a hurricane. 14 days these men couldn't eat. They weren't fasting on purpose. They didn't have an appetite. They were holding on for dear life. I feel the nation of America is getting ready to go into a storm. And we're feeling the winds right now. It would do us good to understand that the only protection that we have is staying in the ship. I've been trying to tell you, you need to get everybody you can into the ark of safety, brothers and sisters. Noah looked like a fool when he prophesied that it was going to rain. They never seen rain. And in their eyes, he was a false prophet. Over almost 100 years went by as he built that ark, walking by, mocking him, laughing at him. They had never seen rain. And he said, it's going to rain. That old prophet Noah, he's a false prophet. 50, 75 years has gone by and it has not rained. Wait a little while. God's not finished. Just because God doesn't fulfill a prophecy, amen, when you think it ought to be fulfilled, doesn't mean that God isn't going to fulfill it. Noah was a false prophet until those raindrops started coming. As the ocean and as the rains began to come up on that ark, and God shut the door. Everybody that was on the inside was safe in the ark. They weren't calling him a false prophet then. They were screaming and yelling and pleading for mercy. Let me in. Let me in. You know, I think if it would do good for the true prophets and preachers in America to quit preaching about houses and Cadillacs and money and promises and blessings, and we need to warn our generation that Jesus is coming. And as Jesus is about to come, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were living life and living it up and acting like everything's okay until the flood came and took them all away. I want you to notice they didn't even know what was coming because they were so caught up in their eating and drinking and being merry and loving the pleasures of this life. Somebody say, keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay in Christ, brothers and sisters. Stay in the ship. They let the ship run in verse 17, and when they had taken up, they used the helps under, they girded the ship. They basically had a process where they would tie it together so it wouldn't fall apart. In verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and on the third day we cast out with our own hands. Notice the transition. It was pretty good, but then it got worse. And Paul said, now I even started helping them out. We started throwing everything overboard. Nothing mattered now but our lives. Do you hear the desperation in the apostles' testimony? They're in the middle of a hurricane storm. And when neither sun nor stars, in verse 20, and many days appeared, and no small tempest lay us on us, we lost all hope that we should be saved. It was taken away. It didn't seem like we were going to get out of where we were. They were tossed, they lightened the ship, and on the third day we cast out with our own hands all of the tackling, and there was neither sun, and we lost all of our hope. But after a long abstinence, stay with me now, verse 21. But after a long abstinence, not eating, Paul was probably all by himself, curled up somewhere, up and down, wind blowing, all of the waves just coming over the edge of the ship. They were up and down. The wind was coming. They were spinning for 14 days, brothers and sisters, in the middle of a hurricane, and they lost all hope that they could be saved. And after 14 days of not eating, and Paul the apostle was praying, the Bible declares in verse 21, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have listened to me. You would have never had to go through what you're going through. You would have never had to go through this storm if you would have only listened to my counsel, verse 21, and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, amen, this is what you need to do. I want you to notice something right here. I like the fact that Paul is showing his leadership, amen. Leadership, amen, is not leadership because you got a title of a pastor. A leader is not just because you've got the title of an apostle. A leader is not a leader just because he's got a title of a manager or supervisor. A leader is a man that knows how to make decisions under pressure. A man that knows how to do things when adversity is coming against them. I said a leader knows how to do things when adversity is coming against them. You don't want just anybody floating this ship. You're going to want a strong leader that can make decisions under adversity and pressure. What we lack today is men that can take the weight of adversity, the weight of problems, the weight of the church, the weight of the finances, the weight of the burdens of the demonic attacks of the enemy, the attacks of those within, the attacks of those without, and you can have a man that can stand up under that weight and still say, sir, you should have listened to me, but all be of good cheer. I know you didn't want to do what I told you to do, but all be of good cheer. I got a word from God that everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. I know it don't look good right now. We've been 14 days spinning around almost at the end result in this storm. But God stood by me with his angel, and he gave me a word that none of us are going to die in this storm. Hallelujah. Say, I'm going to make it through this. I don't know what storm some of you are going through, but I want to tell you, be of good cheer today. I got a word from God, Paul said. Oh, hallelujah. You should have listened, but now that you've got us into this, God's going to show mercy, and he's going to show himself strong. Notice, the captain wasn't calling the shots. It was Paul the apostle that was calling the shots now. Because once a man tells you something's going to happen, and then it happens, you start to think of what he said back at the harbor. You better not leave the harbor. I know we don't like the messenger sometimes, but you better hear the message if it's a message from God. I don't care what the mailman looks like. I don't care how he talks, and I don't care what he wears. If he's bringing mail, I just want to hear what God is saying in the midst. Can I tell you, there's nothing like a man that has a word in the time that you need a word. They lost all hope, and they thought they were going to die. And the Bible says here, and now I exhort you in verse 22, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. But the ship, I can't promise the ship's going to make it through, but you're going to be all right. That kind of sounds a little strange, don't it? We're in the middle of the sea, and you're telling me the ship's going to be destroyed, but we're going to make it? But God had his hand upon that ship. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God. Paul says, who I am? I am the Lord's man. I am his servant and whom I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Hallelujah. Verse 25. Let's read it together in unison. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever storm you're in right now, whatever decisions you've got to make, number one, you need a word from God to first believe God. How can you believe in something without first hearing something? In other words, God reveals himself to you through his word. He warned them that you should have listened to me. You're going to die. We're going to possibly die. They didn't listen, but they went ahead and did what they wanted to do. But Paul comes back and tells them, listen, the angel of God stood by me. Be of good cheer. I am his servant. I like when God proves and brings to pass what true men of God prophesy. He said, nobody's going to die. I told you there was going to be a storm, and there's a storm. I told you, don't be fearful. I know it looks like there's no hope. And I can guarantee you, he was preaching to 275 men on that ship that had ears to hear. When you get desperate enough, you'll be ready to do what you're told. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, in the time we're living, it is not good for us to be like children tossed to and fro. with every wind of doctrine and every ministry and everybody's a prophet and everybody's got a dream. Listen, I'm so sick of these YouTube dreamers and all these people that weekly, amen, they have a dream, they have a word, they have this. Listen, God's never called you to listen to them. God's told you to listen to the pastor that he's put over you. Now, I'm not telling you, but they're not your pastor. And I'm not saying God can't use them, but I'm going to tell you what has messed up the church and brought a lot of immature Christians into the place that they are today and not seeing anything happen in their life. They're like in a storm that's just going round and around and not going anywhere. It's because they have failed to listen to their God-given authority that God has placed in their life and submit to the authority of the men of God that God has placed in their life. Some of the positions and places people are that we know and even some of us are in today are because we did not adhere to God-given authority in our life. We must all be in a position to where we push everything out. And the Lord is telling me to tell some of you this. You need to shut it off. I'm going to keep saying it. And you need to get in a place where you can hear from God for yourself. I can't always hear for God specifically in your circumstances for you. I can counsel you. I can teach you. I can try to encourage you. Paul said there was an angel that stood by me. And he brought me a messenger. How many of us know God will send messengers? Supernaturally and naturally. I've had men prophesy over me in foreign lands, and I have not shared any of the prophecies with anybody, not even my wife, because it's not time. You know why Paul knew he was going to make it through, even though he almost lost all hope? It was already prophesied, you shall go before Caesar. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, if the devil tries to tell you he's going to kill you in this storm, he's going to kill you in the midst of this affliction, this trial, or whatever you may be going through, understand that Paul had a word from God that he must needs be go to Rome and stand before the Caesar. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And can I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's the confidence that he had. He had a word from God, and that's what you've got to have in the storms of life is you've got to know in whom you have believed and that he is more than able to bring to pass what he has started in your life. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.